Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, we've seen the recent increase in tensions between the United States and Iran, but some people do not understand that Iran is actually a major player in the end time scenario as laid out in the Bible. And they're known in the Bible as the nation of Persia, and they're referenced extensively in the end day scenarios throughout Scripture. One nation that's not mentioned specifically is the United States. And to discuss this and some other interesting scripture references that will relate to current events is our good friend, Dr. Richard Ruling. Now, Dr. Ruling is a board-certified physician of internal medicine with a cardiology fellowship. He's taught health science at Loma Linda University in California. In college, he majored in chemistry. He's written extensive works on the end times. Help me welcome back to the program, Dr. Richard Ruling. Dr. Ruling, it is so good to talk to you again, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother, as a true brother and student and open to God's word, and it's a privilege to be with you. I look forward to this interview, and thank you for the opportunity.
Not a problem. Now, for the sake of those that may be new and didn't hear any of our prior interviews last year, tell us in your own words, who is Dr. Richard Ruling?
Well, what can I say except that when I was very small, I told my dad, I want to be what you are, but why aren't you a fireman? I thought that would be exciting, but he laughed because he was a physician in St. Louis, and he took me on house calls, and I saw the appreciation of people for him, and I thought, well, it would be all right to be a doctor too. In college, I was a student missionary for one summer to Colombia and Venezuela, and had the opportunity of, and it made me want to be a missionary doctor, and I really did take medicine with that intent, but it never worked out for me to get there. I accepted a call, but things changed for the opportunity, and so I ended up teaching there at Loma Linda to help train other missionaries, maybe, or whatever, and it was a good experience for me. I saw, actually, real quick, that while at Loma Linda, I attended a cardiology convention, and I heard Pritikin tell how his diet got people off of their blood pressure medicine, 85%. So I thought, hey, that is wonderful, because drugs are not the good answer. And so I began to see that lots of things, actually Pritikin got 85% of patients also off of diabetic medicine, because the high-fat diet makes our insulin receptors blocked. And so we can't utilize them. And so it's just huge. The diet is the key to reversing most medical problems. But we will get more problems if we take drugs for those things. Drugs always make the body toxic at some point, and pretty soon you got two or three problems instead of one if you start taking medicine.
Yeah, I remember I was reading some of the articles you had on your website that talked about that, you know, some people were in the nursing home and you know, you brought them into your home within a couple of weeks, they're like living a normal life.
That's true. That's Miriam. She's still living with us right now. She's 80, and we had to wheel her in a wheelchair, but very uncommunicative. But dozen pills a day, and now her blood sugar is under better control. Half of what it was in the nursing home with no pills. Amen. So anyway.
Amen. Yep. Well, last time you were on our program, you had an interesting take on Bible prophecy that you thought was going to happen. Would you care to talk about that for a minute and tell us what you were expecting and what happened?
Yes, happy to. In 2015, actually, there were several events of significance that were, I think, eschatological end-time stuff. It started out with in the spring with a rare solar eclipse on the equinox, followed by a blood moon on Passover. And the text in Joel 2:31 says, "The sun will be darkened and the moon turned to blood before the day of the Lord." But the word "before" is panim, means facing the day of the Lord, facing the end times. And so that was significant. Then we had the Iran nuclear treaty in 2015, and it was when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming. And then there was a gay marriage in the Supreme Court approval, rearranging God's plan, for marriage and so on. And the Bible, I like Mark 13:14. The wording says, "When you see an abomination standing where it ought not." Well, it ought not to be in the Supreme Court. That was bad, you know. And another event, the Pope went to Congress, In the early believers understood Christ's warning in Matthew 24:15. It was when you see the abomination standing in the holy place. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the point is that the holy place in Jerusalem was the temple where the law was. Mm-hmm. That's where the Ten Commandments were. But here's the Pope in Congress where the law is being made. You know, right. So very parallel. And so when the early believers saw Rome come, they fled the city and got out of there. And I thought it was. I'm sorry. Let me back up and say it was in 66 A.D. when the Roman general Cestius came, and it was 3.5 years later when Titus came. And so from 2015, 3.5 years was last spring, and that's why my expectancy was high. And I was disappointed, and it took me a little while to consider or figure it out, but I think I got the answer now.
Okay.
I believe there's a 7-year ending, okay, not a 3.5-year ending, just like Joseph's 7 years of famine, and Nebuchadnezzar ate grass in Daniel 4th, 4th chapter of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar ate grass for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And there were 7 days around Jericho. They blew the trumpet for 6 days each trip, and then in the 7th day they went around 7 times. Well, that fits the 6 trumpets in Revelation 8 and 9. There are 6 trumpets there, and then 7 last plagues in Revelation 16. So that, to me, God is reinforcing day for year. It often represents that, as they, just as they wandered 40 years in the wilderness and so on, Christ fasted for 40 days, and a lot of parallel stuff day for a year. So my point is now, though, that because there's a 7-year ending, I think it cannot just start any old time. It has to start after a sabbatical year, so that when Christ ceases his mediation and he says, "Let him that be righteous, let him be righteous still," and the plagues are going to be poured out when he stops interceding, and the things are going to get really bad for that last year. Let me back up and say, the Bible has a chiastic structure. That's a fancy word theologically, but it's like chasm. And man crawled into the chasm of sin in Genesis 1 and 2. From paradise, he crawled into the... And at the end of the Bible, we get paradise again back. You crawl up the other side. Right. And just as God made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, he ceased his creation. So in the final 7 years, there will be lots of events happening, but he will cease his mediation in the seventh year. Ceasing mediation so that the plagues fall without mercy is going to be a bad thing. I believe the last 7 years are to run either toward God or away from him.
Right.
We will repent and want to do it his way. You are good, loving. You provided all the answers that we need and so on. Or people will say, "I'm going to do it my way," and run away and be hardened, and they will be impenitent, and they will not be able to change. They won't want to change, So the point is that that chiastic structure of ceasing creation and ceasing mediation has to fit a sabbatical year, just like after 6 days there was the Sabbath at the end of the week. And it says in the Sabbath commandment, 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath in Exodus 20. So I see that as a wave for the future. And the year of 2015 Let me back up and say that the most famous time prophecy in the Bible that we know in Daniel 9, 24 and 25 is 70 weeks are determined upon my people. Those are 77s, okay? And they began, and the best date known for that, if you Google it, the decree of Artaxerxes, you know, Daniel 7, 9, verse 24, the best date given is 457 B.C., and if you go from, and take that as a sabbatical year, it fits what can I say, 490 years, mm-hmm. fits 10 jubilees. Okay. In the Bible time, on a jubilee year, land came back to the original owner, and captives were freed and all of that. And the Christ said, "Hey, I come to proclaim the acceptable year." You know, well, that was the jubilee year of freedom, and he came to bring that. It's just that they didn't receive him as the Messiah, and they didn't see those time dates as being the Jews didn't. Okay, at that time. Right. By the way, most of the Bible was written by Jews for Jews to Jews, with the yeah. acceptance of the exception is Luke, the physician, who wasn't, but he's you know, and he wrote the book of Acts as well.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's the overall picture I'm seeing is I think that because there's a 7 year those dates I forgot to say, the sabbatical years go from 457 to 34 A.D. and then 1994 when the Pope was in Congress. I'm sorry, it was 95. The sabbatical year is to proclaim Jubilee, and then the next year is the Jubilee year. 95 was a Jubilee year, but 94 was a sabbatical year. Before that, and go 23 times 7 is 21, that's 2015, and 2015 with all those signs was a sabbatical year. So I believe that 2022 will be a sabbatical, and I believe the end times will begin in 2023. And we've got to look, and if so, I think this Iran thing situation will cool off a little bit and bounce around, and you know, it's really been since 1987 when there was a Persian Gulf crisis with Iran, mm-hmm. and there was a boat downed, and in 1987 also had several other events: a stock market crash of 500 points in the fall, an earthquake in Whittier, California. And the Pope came and went around our country. He landed in Miami and went to Santa Fe and California and flew to Detroit. He kind of circled our country like mm-hmm. the Roman army circled Jerusalem. So those four signs, I think, are significant of end time events in 1987, and we're getting there. You know.
Amen. I was. It's funny that you mentioned 2022 because I've been talking to a couple other people on the podcast as well who, for whatever reasons that they're going into, they're also saying 2022. So I mean, that's kind
interesting.
Of
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really interesting. So it's yeah. being confirmed by more than one source is what I'm trying to say. So.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. What I'm interested if you happen to think of whatever they said that was. What is going to happen or why 2022, okay. That's okay. You know, just okay. wondered.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go on with our interview.
Okay,
I mean, that's one thing about Bible prophecy. Only the Lord knows the real time, and events can happen, yeah. and we're going to talk about some of them today. But really, right. we should be ready at all times.
Okay, that's good because yeah. you could get hit by a car, and you're done. So, but on the other hand, there are two verses that I think are significant impacting this, and that is that Amos 3:7 says that God will not do anything without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And I've asked a lot of people, pastors and so on, do you know what it is that he wants to reveal? What's the next verse say? And I've only found one head of theology at a Bible college that knew that he says, well, it's something about a lion's roar. And yes, Christ is the Lion of Judah in Revelation 5:5. And in Joel 3:16, it says, the Lord will roar, the heavens and earth will shake. So it's about an earthquake. And I believe that the end time will kick in with an earthquake for America, and it will be big, and I mean very serious time of judgment. Martial law, you know, two will be in the field, one taken, the other left. Where are they taken, Lord? Christ said in Luke 17, verse 36 and 37, it's the last two verses of Luke 17. He said, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. And I don't want to go there. You know, I'd rather be left behind. I don't want to be taken. Left Behind series was about a quick rapture to heaven. You don't want to be left behind. You want to be taken. Well, no, the flood took them all the way, and I don't want to be taken to where the body is either. I want to be left behind. So anyway, that's just a perspective on those things, and I forgot where I was going with this. But anyway,
no problem. Let's talk about your new book. You have Health, Happiness, and Destiny, especially the section that you wrote that talks about Daniel chapter 8 and the war with Persia. So I'll just let you go from there.
Okay. In Daniel 8, Daniel sees a ram pushing from the river Ulai. Now, if you can ask a reference librarian, where is the river Ulai, spelled U-L-A-I, Ulai, they will tell you it's the Karun River by Kuwait. And that happens to be where our troops deployed against in Desert Storm against Saddam in Iraq. Okay. So, but the ram is pushing west, north, and south. And militant Islam is pushing west, north, and south. They've pushed into Russia, and a lot of Muslims there, and down into Africa, and we hear some really sad stuff about Africa and the slaughtering of Christians down there by Muslims. And we see they're pushing west to North America as well, and Europe. Europe is west from the Holy Land. And, they've infiltrated, basically, I think it's a sad thing. God originally, in Genesis, when they wanted to make a Tower of Babel, make a name for themselves, right. God scattered, confused the languages and scattered them, and they settled different areas. Well, now the Pope is getting them to move and change, and he invites them to Europe, and now Europe is a disaster thanks to the Pope,
right.
Et cetera. And so I just think let people stay where they're at. I'm not against people. My dad was an immigrant. He came from Germany and so on. But to come by the thousands and the millions really is changing the voting situation in our country. Everybody wants free food stamps and free housing and free medical care and free education. Those four frees. And I just saw an article recently on WorldNet Daily, which I like. It's a Christian perspective. And this woman, Patricia, forget her last name, Lewis maybe, she said things are not free for five words if they cost somebody something. In other words, if somebody has to pay for my education or my food stamps and so on, that's money. Freedom should be free to do what we want. And you're not affected by what I choose to do. If I want to drive on the highway, if I drive on the right side, it should be free for me to drive there. Freedom to speak and the freedom of press and all that is a freedom, but it's not a right, or it's really a privilege to be able to come to this country. But they shouldn't be expecting all the benefits from the taxpayers, basically.
True. That's right. That's right. Now, how do you... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
You asked me... I've taken some rabbit trails here, but you were asking me about the Middle East and how we got... what is it? Okay, so the ram is pushing west, north, and south, and it angers a goat, who comes flying from the west and clobbers that ram. It stomps the ram and breaks its two horns, which it says in verse 20, Daniel 8:20, it says, the kings that you saw are the kings of Media and Persia. But today you would say Iraq and Iran. Persia has for centuries, until just last century, for 2,500 years, Persia's been known as Persia, but now it's Iran. And so, and Media was where Babylon and the city was, and where Iraq is today. So the point is that lots of historians have said that this vision of Daniel was fulfilled by Alexander the Great, who conquered the Medes and Persians in the Battle of Arbela in 331 B.C. But the point is that Gabriel comes along in verse 17 and says the visions of the time of the end.
And, yeah, right.
Yeah, and so, hello, it's telling us that God is declaring the end from the beginning. You know, he says that in Isaiah 46:10. And in the book of beginnings, and this is huge, I want to just say, there is Abraham is tested over his willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac. And there is a ram caught in a thicket or bush, okay? Mm-hmm. And I believe George Bush caught the ram for the first horn, okay? in a sense, and the trumpet, by the way, horns are used to make trumpets in the Bible. They call it a shofar. They cut off mm-hmm. the horn, and they blow through it and make the horn sound, okay? And it was used for signaling. But since the horns made trumpets, this goat has a big horn, big trumpet, big trump. Okay, hello. Mm. I believe the imagery is, and this great horn, it clobbers the ram and breaks its horns. So I just think, and the higher horn, which is Iran, came up last. So I think we will see us go to war against Iran. And then it will be at the time of the end, so to speak. And that's, right. It has been delayed until a lot of things get into place for reasons maybe to test us and believe, you know, some people say, oh, this is a bunch of hooey, it hasn't happened yet, you've been talking about it for years and whatever. But it will.
Oh, yeah.
I'm confident of that. And I interrupted you, but, let me say this. The goat does make the goat becomes great after it smacks the horn, and so I think trumpet will make America great. But then the big horn is broken, and he may get assassinated. I don't know, but Alexander the Great died prematurely. Yeah. I think that it will not be a natural death for Trump at his age. Something will happen, four little horns spring up, but one becomes very great. And that little horn that springs up in Daniel 8 is does the same things that the little horn in Daniel 7 did, which Protestant reformers all believed was the papacy. The horns in Daniel 7, there were four kingdoms, Babylon, Media, Persia, Grecia, Rome, and out of the fourth beast, Rome, came a little horn that grew out, and Rome grew out of the Roman Empire. It's right there, Rome,
right.
City of Rome,
yeah.
And it does the same things in Daniel 7. It says he would think to change times and laws, and the Pope got rid of the second commandment to the papacy, the Vatican did, which says don't make any graven image. The churches are full of images.
Oh, yeah.
And they take it as an aid for spiritual thought, but God didn't want to be represented by anything that way, and we don't pray to saints, we really pray to God, you know, mm-hmm. et cetera.
At least we
and
should be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the little horn spoke great words against the Most High. Well, another translation might be blasphemy. Mm-hmm. They accused Christ of that when he said, God is my Father. Mm-hmm. And the Pope claims the title Lord God the Pope. Well, I don't think so. You know, he's not for me. And but Protestants by the millions were slaughtered when they wouldn't bow to the Pope in the Dark Ages. So a lot of parallelism, and right now it looks pretty mild. I like a Protestant publisher, Jack Chick, who Chick Publications made this interesting comment that Rome, in a position of weakness, is as gentle as a lamb. Rome, in a position of equality, is as clever as a fox. And Rome, in a position of superior strength, is as fierce as a tiger.
Mm.
And we've seen the lamb, gentle, you know, coming to this country for the last few hundred years, et cetera. To settle here, immigrants. But the strategy is to get at a point where we have a majority. They have a majority, and I think I know a friend of mine interviewed a couple in Montana who came from Mexico, and he said, "Why did you move up here to Montana?" He said, "What?" They said, "Well, the priest told us to." So that's where it's really at. A lot of people with allegiance to the one who forgives their sins and promises them salvation every week for a confession, they will do what it says. And I just think that's not good. We need to follow the Bible. You know?
Yeah, amen. Did you see the video recently with the Pope you know, slapping that lady's hand for
touching
them. Real Jesus-like there, wasn't he?
Well, you know, I don't want to be too judgmental. If I had been him, maybe who knows? You know, but I see what you're saying. We're all human, and he had the humanness. That was not Lord God the Pope either.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. He's supposed to be, right. You know, they said, you know, the spirit of Jesus or something supposed to be on him. You know,
right.
I say, that didn't shine forth that day.
Right. Hey, agreed.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode where I've been interviewing Dr. Richard Ruling. He's been a guest several times on our program, and he's always got a great, interesting take on biblical prophecy and current events. And I enjoy sharing that kind of things with you because, you know, we are definitely living in the last of the last days. You can see it played out almost every single night on the evening news. But more importantly, when you start looking at what the Bible has to say and you start looking at the major players in the world today, folks, there is no doubt that this thing is about to wrap up, and it's going to wrap up fairly quickly. And just like the Bible says, it's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to take everyone by surprise when the rapture happens and the Lord returns. There's no doubt about it, and you need to be prepared for that. And that's why I invite all these Bible scholars on here to give their viewpoint. Some of them may be controversial, some of them may not be. You may agree with some, not agree with the others, but it doesn't matter. When you start looking at the message all of them have, time's running out. And Dr. Ruling is one of those that I just enjoy having back time after time after time. So you need to come back tomorrow because we're starting to get into the good stuff now. There, you will not want to miss tomorrow's episode. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.